This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Thank you so much for joining us once again for The Invisible War. My name is Kevin Harris. We're joined once again in studio with our teacher, Dr. Rob Randall. Today we have a special program because we have a guest, and we're going to hear an amazing story. We're going to hear her testimony. Even though she had been a Christian for 38 years, fully involved in ministry, loved the Lord, she just had some things in her life that would not let go. She needed deliverance, and boy, did she get it. This is going to encourage every one of us. There are some people listening now who are probably going through the same thing that Debbie went through, and today they can hear how to get free.
You know, Kevin, a genuine work of God never exalts us. It always exalts the Savior. I want everyone to listen today with your heart as God speaks to all of us about what He is able to do if we'll just turn to Him.
Well, we ran out of time last week as we were hearing this amazing testimony that she calls My New Normal. It's an amazing story of God's healing and cleansing, and I know that so many of us listening are going to need to hear what she has to say. If you missed last week, you can get it at our website, theinvisiblewar.org. Just go there, click on the broadcast button, and that'll catch you up to what we're about to launch into today, and that is the continuation of her story. Dr. Randall, introduce our guest to us today. I love the title that she's put on her testimony, My New Normal.
So good to see you, Kevin. Thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in to The Invisible War today. What a privilege it is, once again, to have Debbie Newhouse with us, sharing the wonderful story of her deliverance and healing from our Lord Jesus.
I appreciate you having me back. I appreciate the opportunity, and I just want to be obedient.
Please, dear friend, hear me today. In your relationship with Christ, you have been given the legal right to be free. Now, we've talked about what freedom is on this program. Freedom, the word in the original language, is politeis. It literally means your relationship in the kingdom, that which Christ bought for you when he died for you on Calvary. You know, just because you've been given the legal right to be free through Christ, it's not automatic. It's like having a bank account, but just because it's in your name, you have to withdraw from that account. Everything you need is in the finished work of Christ on Calvary when he died and shed his blood for you. But we have to receive it by faith. Come out of your hiding place of doubt and despair. Come to Jesus. Right now, give your fears over to him. Let him heal those old wounds where the enemy is perched forever, reminding you through his lies that there is no hope. Debbie, you said it so wonderfully well. You were in the home, but you were relegated to one simple little place when the whole home was yours. You're part of the family of God. Why in the world do we listen to the enemy's lies? Why do we do that? I guess there are thousands of reasons. Let me just simply say, I think it has to do with this whole area of what's comfortable. We get so used to what folks tell us is normal, that we never really find out what Christ has for us. Share with us how life has changed for you.
My prayer life has changed, obviously. I have about a 35, 40-minute drive to work in the morning. I pray all the way to work and almost all the way home. I was praying coming home the other day, and you know, again, my prayer is always, it's a different way of praying now. I just want to be obedient. I often start my prayers out by just saying, Lord, I just want to be obedient. I just want to do what you want me to do. And there's this great feeling of humility. I'm not bragging about being humble, but there's this great feeling of just this intense thankfulness that God's done this for me. But, you know, why would he do that for me? I mean, I know why, but boy, I'm just so overwhelmed with thankfulness and gratitude.
Do you find yourself singing to him more often and worshiping him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't have the radio on the way to work. If I listen to music, I have it downloaded on my MP3 player, and it's all praise and worship music. And my worship time a lot for him is writing things that he gives me that I write back to him to talk about what he's done for me and how grateful and thankful I am.
You know, in 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Explain to us as best you can. I know when we speak of the supernatural, words kind of fall short. That's kind of our dilemma as we try to share these supernatural matters. But tell us how the Lord came to destroy the works of the enemy in your life. You told us about the time when this wonderful friend of yours was understanding that it was supernatural and the prayer time. But tell us some of the details of what was going on in your heart and how the Lord has come to set you free.
Well, when I started back to the university, go back to school to get my degree, like I said, I grew up in challenging circumstances and didn't have a father figure growing up. And much of the input from a father figure was from my mother's brother. And he didn't know how to relate to kids at all, apparently, because everything I did was stupid. And that was stupid that you did that. And that was stupid that you did that. And why are you doing that? That's so stupid. And so I thought I had worked through a lot of things. And I'm sure I had worked through a lot of things. But when I started back to school, the very first test I took as an adult student, I was concerned that I was an only child, so I'm an overachiever. And I wanted to do really well. And I'm studying for the test. And there again, it was one of those incidents where out of no place, I just heard these tapes playing over and over in my head about, I don't know why you thought you wanted to do this because you're never going to finish school. You're just not smart enough to do that. And just on and on, it's unrelenting. It just, you know, it was a very big struggle. I recognize now more than ever that the struggle that's been taking place with me was not just with me and my thoughts, but I was struggling with the devil and the works of darkness. And sometimes it was a physical struggle for me. I mean, I would have to go to my car sometimes and just say, scream. I just, you know, try to get rid of whatever it was that was going on. I didn't know how to fight it. I was without any weapons, really. I mean, I knew the Word of God, but like I said earlier, I didn't know how to appropriate any of that.
You know, if you can't believe the truth, you can't live the truth. And so if our life has been built upon these lies, this continual bombardment that you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, when in reality, we're creation. We are a creation of Almighty God, made in His image to do amazing things. We are His crowned possession of His creation, far greater than anything He's ever created. He created us. And yet, we don't always believe that, do we? It's a time when it's hard, when people have, out of their own wounds, continually wounded us. And if a child has no prayer covering, of course, those arrows find their mark, and those wounds are never healed. The enemy comes in and attaches himself to those wounds and plays those recordings of how awful we are, how unnecessary we are, how unworthy we are, all of those lies. He plays those records over and over and over again. But the Lord didn't leave you there.
No, he didn't. And that was about two years ago, actually, when I started back to school. And I would occasionally deal with that, not real often. After that first attack, it got less, and I didn't deal with it as much. But, you know, I'm taking psychology courses out there. So occasionally we would run across something that really affected me and affected me more than I realized. And we would often talk about things that I thought I'd already dealt with, and I would even share in class sometimes. I'm also a victim of sexual abuse. My mother's uncle molested me when I was about 15. And, you know, so there's that to deal with as well. So just going through psychology classes, I thought I dealt with a lot of things I would share in class. But as I shared in class, I've come to realize that that just kind of fortified the enemy with what I had to say. And he just keeping a good log of everything I was talking about. And that absolutely, that week that I was at my end of my rope was, I think he'd chronicled everything and put it together and just had this major onslaught against me. I was in absolute darkness. As a Christian, there's only been one or two other times where I felt so overwhelmed. And I really thought that, I mean, I wasn't suicidal, but I really just thought, I'm quitting school, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to go home. I'm just going to stay with my husband at home in my room, and that's just it. I just don't want to do this anymore. I really was at the point of defeat. And I didn't know what to do. Even as a Christian, I wasn't sure exactly what to do.
You know, what thrills my heart about your story is that you represent us. This is not an unusual story by any means. Those of us who have been reared in church, those of us who have a religious background, who want to serve the Lord, who have given our lives to serve the Lord, we can still be in absolute bondage if these places of our woundings are not healed and cleansed. And you know, God is just greater than our wounds. He's bigger. He's greater. The enemy would have you believe that you're wounded, you'll never amount to anything, but it's a lie. All of that's a lie. God is greater, and the Lord Jesus wants to show you that He's greater. He's greater than our fears. He's greater than our wounds. He is greater. But you and I can never know the power of His love until we allow Him to show it to us. It's okay. It's okay. There are no secrets in heaven. It's always best to uncover this stuff and let the Lord shine His light on the secret stuff. God is greater. Well, Debbie, tell us again how things have changed since you allowed the Lord Jesus to expose these liars and throw these murderous intruders out of your life.
First of all, overwhelming freedom, obviously. I've kind of felt like somebody living in a basement. And I could see the light. I knew the light was out there. But I'd begun to fill my little basement with all kinds of trash and stuff. And it was becoming darker in there. And I didn't really clean anything up. I would confess things sometimes to God and ask God from the standpoint of, you know, can you just, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. Not sorry particularly for any sin, but just I'm sorry. You know, I just want to do better. And, you know, the cursory things that we always say as Christians, you know, we occasionally get convicted at church and, you know, we either go to the altar or we fall before God and we say, I'm so sorry. I know I can do better and I apologize. I'm so sorry. But we don't really, I never did. I'll say for myself, I never confessed for things particular. And I seldom went back to my past to confess anything in the past, to let the Lord just take that. And I was like a lot of Christians, I guess. When I got saved at 15, I thought, hey, everything's cool. I'm saved now. Everything's healed. It's all good. Just all good stuff. But I didn't realize that my discipleship had to take place. I really had to do more growing. I studied the Word of God. I have a passion for the Word of God, but I study it like a textbook. I didn't always appropriate it. And the thing that has changed is the way I approach the Word of God. I have a regular daily time just about every single day, and I never could do that before. And I always said, God, could you just help me? Could you make me do that? And now I want to. And I just, like I said earlier, my biggest prayer is I just want to be obedient. I just want to do whatever God wants me to do so that there's nothing between us, nothing.
I want all of our listeners to understand that the enemy never stops trying to find a place to intrude so he can control our lives through his lies and fear. Demon spirits can't be destroyed. I want to say that again. Demon spirits, these unclean spirits, cannot be destroyed. They can be bound. They can be cast out. They can be put in torment. But it's not time yet for them to be cast into the lake of fire. That's coming, praise the Lord. But it's not time yet. I have learned that wherever they have left, they always try to return. Always. I want to ask you, Debbie, what are you doing to make certain they don't come back?
Well, I'm real mindful of the fact that I don't want them to come back. I don't want to be tormented by them. So my professor was great because he gave me some verses to memorize and to use, reminding me of the fact that when Jesus had to fight the devil when he was out in the wilderness, he used scripture against him, and that's what we need to use as our defense too. I was telling my son the other night that our armor of God that we put on, we have one offensive weapon, and it's the Word of God. And on my way to work in the morning, when I get up, on the way home, I often thank God for the pieces of armament that I have. And I'm thankful to God for those. And I rehearse those and recite those as I go to work, that I'll be fully armored and able to withstand whatever the devil does throw at me by God's grace.
You know, one of the great joys of this ministry is to be able to hear wonderful stories like yours, and how the Lord is now using you to minister to others, not just through this program, but how the Lord has used you to minister to others. We find an amazing truth in the Word of God. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me today. Listen to the Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, Debbie, share with us how our Lord is using the very things that you were so afraid others would find out about. These are the very birthplaces of the healing ministry in your life to others. Share with us what God's been doing.
Well, my daughter and her friend attend a different church than I do. They go to a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday nights. And my daughter had been sharing with the teacher there what had been going on with my life and now with theirs. And the teacher stopped in mid-lesson plan and said, we're going to go in another direction. And so she launched out to begin to teach on spiritual warfare. And Stephanie, having talked to her about what had gone on in my life, said, you know, I bet my mom would be glad to come talk to the class about what happened. And so she contacted me, and I said I would. I agreed to, and I went to the class, and I spoke. And when I was done, there was a couple of ladies hanging around, and one of them I stopped to talk to, and she thanked me profusely for coming and speaking on the subject, because she felt that we were woefully inadequate in most of our churches about teaching on this. And then there was another young lady who'd kind of just stayed off to my right or my left, just behind my eyesight. And at one point, I realized she was there, and I turned to her, and I said, we need to talk, don't we? And she was kind of surprised by that, and she said, yeah, I guess so. Well, we stepped outside to speak so that we had a little more quiet out there and in secret and not being able to be disturbed by other people. She said, so that stuff you said about being abused, did that really happen to you? And I said, yes, it did. And she said, well, how do you get over that? And I said, well, first of all, I asked her about her relationship with the Lord, whether she'd ever had entered into a relationship with Christ or not. She said she had. And I said, well, the one thing you can do is know that you're valued by God, because he gave his very son for us. And she began to cry a little bit. And she said, I just don't know how you get over things like that. I just don't know how you forgive. And I asked her who she was most angry with. And she said, myself, because I should have told somebody. And I said, but you were a child. You didn't know what to do. And we talked for a little bit. We prayed together. But I brought somebody with me that night, a friend of mine from the church that we go to. And on the way home, we talked a little bit. And then we spent an hour and a half in the car in front of her house talking about this. And the Lord really just impressed me to challenge her about her attitudes about things. She was angry and had this great rebellion kind of churning inside of her. And so we talked for a while and we prayed together. And she contacted me a day or two later saying, I went into the house, went straight to my room. I got down on my knees, and I just asked God to keep revealing things to me to confess. And she said, I prayed for hours, and I've been waking my husband up or telling my husband, we need to talk about this. I need forgiveness for this. She said, I called my mother and asked my mother to forgive me for being angry with her, because she was a victim of sexual assault when she was younger as a child, and her mother, she felt like, hadn't done enough for her. And she'd been angry with her all these years. And she called her mother and asked her to forgive her. And recently, when I knew I was going to come on the program, I sent out emails to a lot of people and contacted a lot of people and asked them to pray. And I've received back several requests for my story of my new normal, what's going on with me. I've had opportunities to talk to people casually. And I'm a little skeptical sometimes. I'm never sure how I'm going to be received when I talk to people, being a Baptist. Some of them are a little skeptical about anything supernatural, and so I try to ease into the subject, but the Lord's telling me you don't have to do that. You can be pretty bold about it, so I'm working in that direction.
Well, it is such a joy to know how the Lord uses the very things that the enemy intends for our destruction. Once they are cleansed, it becomes the very seedbed of ministry to others. You know, we are so deeply grateful that you've come today to share your story. And as Debbie has shared, she writes a lot. And if you would like a copy of her testimony, if you will simply email me at theinvisiblewar.org or call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. We'll be glad to email you back a copy of her testimony called My New Normal. Debbie, I want you to read some of that which you have written about your journey. You write so well. The Lord has given you a wonderful gift here. I could read it, but it'll sound so much more natural coming from you since you wrote it. Would you read this wonderful piece about that which the Lord has done for you?
Thank you for helping me see where I stand in this battle. Thank you for helping me see myself as you see me, not as a victim, but as a victor, not as a conquest, but as a conqueror, not as the cowering prey, but courageous in prayer. Thank you for showing me that I need not live in fear, but I may have confidence to live as one whose union with Christ produces the perfect love that casts out all fear, whose voice booms a command to the unruly, churning waves of unrest in my soul, and they obey, silenced at the words, "Be still." Thank you for the arms that reach out to comfort, upon whose palms my very image is engraved, and upon whose chest I often lay my weary warrior head to seek shelter and find rest.
Well, that is amazing, and we appreciate you listening today. Thank you, Rob, and thank you, Debbie, for being willing to share with our listeners today this very important testimony. I know that so many of us needed to hear what you have to say, and we're very grateful for the blessing. Thank you for sharing it. Once again, I want to encourage you that if you don't have this Bible study, The Invisible War by Dr. Rob Randall, go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. And you can get a copy of this most crucial Bible study concerning spiritual warfare. And that's why we call it The Invisible War. You can call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 877-808-8886. Dr. Randall, some final thoughts from you today, and would you close us in prayer?
Dear friend, Christ has done all that needs to be done for you to be set free, for you to be delivered. Would you receive it today? Would you allow Jesus to take you to that place that no one knows about? That place where sorrow and fear are reigning? Jesus wants to show you that He is greater. Let Him go there. Go there with Him. Let Him take you to those secret places. I can't do it for you, but I can do it with you. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Just say the words after me. Would you do it? Father, I thank You for Jesus and for my salvation through Him. That's right, pray it after me. Father, I thank You for Jesus and for my salvation through Him. He is the Savior, and I am the sinner. I am so grateful to be washed in His blood. And because You have forgiven me, I choose to forgive others. Everyone who has hurt me, everyone who has lied to me, and everyone who has disappointed me, I forgive. I repent of unforgiveness. I know it is sin. I forgive myself and apply Your great forgiveness to my life. I repent of anger, bitterness, hatred, of rebellion, resentment, and revenge, of envy, jealousy, and strife, doubt, unbelief, skepticism, of lust, of witchcraft, and idolatry, and all the works of the flesh. I denounce the sin of my ancestors. I totally separate myself from any generational curse that has come down to me. I renounce all unholy vows, pledges, oaths, or ceremonies, and I choose to be free from all permission of secret society curses. I denounce all unholy soul ties and confess them as sin. For Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. He is my deliverer and my healer, and He broke the power of all curses. I choose to be free, and I will be free in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you've prayed with me today, we want to hear from you. Would you contact me on our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Let me know of your concerns. If you have burdens, prayer burdens for others that you would like for us to help you carry, let us know about who you are concerned about. We'll be glad to pray with you about these matters. Or you can call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. Thank you so much for the sweet privilege that is ours today to have been able to bring you The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.